What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Impulsive Thoughts. And we are back from
Dan's hiatus, sickness. Yeah, it's my fault.
Dan's sickness.
Blame me. We missed last week. It was my fault. I 100% take blame for it.
Yeah. Well, good. You should. And I am joined here with Mr. Dunny Rowe to my right.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right.
And Dano to my left.
Hey, how's it going?
Worked 3 days in Rensselaer this week.
Nice.
Ooh.
Go to a Rensselaer. Did you go to see Moody's Lights?
No.
Slacker. Oh. Doesn't run the stairs. Doesn't see Moody's Lights.
I didn't even think about looking to see how far it is from where I was.
Probably 15, 20 minutes tops.
Is it by the college?
Maybe.
It's in Rensselaer.
Actually, it's in Lafayette.
It's in Lafayette.
So it's probably maybe another 20, 30 minutes from where you were at. Maybe. Because I know it's like an hour from here. I think. I don't know.
Excellent.
But yeah. So how's it going, guys?
Fucking snowing in fucking March. Yeah. That's how it's going. Shit?
I mean, it's March.
True.
And, you know.
But still, it spoiled us with a couple of 75-degree days.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
As I walked outside this morning and saw there was, like, snow on the ground or whatever, and I had to look at my phone like, what the fuck date is it?
See, now, for me, I left the house at 4:05, 4:10, and nothing. I pull out of the drive, out of the garage. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's a normal day. And then I seen, like, one or two snowflakes. I'm like, it's my imagination. And then I start driving. I'm like, nothing else really. Or it was so light I couldn't see shit.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the gas station on the Speedway over there at Exchange and Calumet, basically. And I'm in the Speedway and I hear, like, over me. And I'm looking at the way the Speedway is set up, you know, you're under the over thing, over the roof. And next to it, it runs into the building. And it runs, like, the overhang. The shit runs off onto the building and then down the gutter. And it's just millions of it. It looked like it was hail, not really snow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? But then I started driving, got in a 394, nothing. Not till I got close to the Circle Exchange, whatever.
Did you just get what I said?
It was finished drink out.
Sorry about that.
Close to the Circle, all of a sudden, like, just fucking slick everywhere. And you dealt with it too. I saw two Camaros wiped out on the side of the road and traffic down to a dead stop. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And there was shit on the ground everywhere. I'm like, who ordered this shit?
Well, that's, yeah. I saw Isaac's Snapchat from Gray's Lake. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, seriously? Like, the dude was just, the front of the vehicle was in the air. I'm like, what happened?
I had to make sure, like, he wasn't posting that from, like, 2 months ago.
And then the guy, you could tell he was doing a walk of shame walking away from his car. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. So, that was funny as hell. But before we begin, because I know Dan has an awesome episode planned.
Debatable.
Debatable, yeah.
I have an episode.
He has an episode. Want to do a little housekeeping. I want to give a shout out to somebody that I met when I believe she was probably 21-ish. And she's a therapist now, and she has her own podcast called MK. That's MMKAY.
Don't do drugs because they're bad, MK.
MK. Yeah, it's MMKAY.
Mr. Mackey, MK.
So she deals with
marijuana is bad.
She deals with she's a therapist. She deals with people that have, like, substance abuse and stuff like that. So, I mean, shout out to her. She's doing her podcast, which I just learned about it a few days ago, and I think I almost binged everything she already posted.
I first saw something posted about it, like, I don't know, like, was it last year maybe?
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't say anything to you. I thought you knew about
it. Yeah, no, I didn't know. She's She's been doing it, she said, I think since 2021 or 22 maybe. Mm. But yeah, occasionally.
Good starting, okay.
Occasionally. That's what I was getting to. Oh. Occasionally she does it by herself, or she does it with her husband, B-Red. Bread. Or.
Reggie.
Or her friend. Friend Carissa, aka Cardi B. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cool podcast. Like she had me fucking ugly crying the other day on my way home from work because she was talking about her poor little blind pup Toby passed away a couple years ago now. And so yeah, she does good work, and I just wanted to put it out there so our listeners can be her listeners too.
Go listen to okay.
Yeah. Go listen to okay.
Okay.
And don't do drugs because they're bad. Okay. I feel bad talking about her podcast like that. Okay.
But yeah, so Dan.
Yes, sir.
What do you got for us?
In true Dan fashion, like to procrastinate to the last minute.
No.
In true Dan fashion, I go to LaGrange, Georgia. I do a story on LaGrange, Georgia. We have National Missing Persons Day. I do a story on National Missing Persons Day.
Do you have a story about the flu or something?
I have a story that takes place on Easter. I have the Easter Sunday Massacre. Ooh. I had never heard about this before.
I was going to say, I've never heard anything about it.
I did my research. So.
Is that when he gets nailed to the cross, or?
Damn.
No, that's when he rose. He got nailed to the cross on Good Friday. I think, right?
Fuck.
Because he rose on Easter Sunday, that's why. God.
I know, I just wanted to.
Anywho, and that's Zombie Jesus, by the way. How else did he come back from the dead?
True.
Speaking of which, one of my favorite things to post usually on Good Friday, it's a picture of Jesus, and you can see him walking into the cave where he's put, or not walking into, but being put in there. And it says, actually, it's just a picture of him with sunglasses, and it says,
and he's like,
it says, "I'll be back."
Yeah. Oh. There was another one I seen like that too, and he has the finger guns, and he's like, "I'll be back Sunday."
So, this took place Easter Sunday, March 30th, 1975.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go with what happened, and then I'm going to start at the beginning.
75, what is that, 49 years ago?
Yes. Good math.
Boom.
Yes. So, 41-year-old James U. Rupert fatally shot 11 members of his own family in his mother's house at 635 Minor Avenue in Hamilton, Ohio. This is a middle-class community. It's about 30 miles from Cincinnati. So that's what happened. That's what we're going to end at.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little bit of background on James. So James Urban Rupert was born on March 29th, 1934. So if you notice those dates, it's pretty close to his birthday also when this happened. His early life was sad and abusive. His mother, Charity, often called him a mistake because she had wanted a daughter. His father, Leonard, was a violent man with a quick temper and little time or affection for his two sons. So he had an older brother who was named Leonard Jr., and that's why the mom was, you know, said she wanted a daughter. So Leonard Sr., he had died in 1947 when James was 12 and his older brother, Leonard Jr., when he was 14. So when this happened, Leonard Jr., he became the head of the family. And according to James, he picked on James nonstop, like incessantly, like nonstop, just picked on him and just was a big tool to his little baby brother. Well, not baby, because they were 14 and 12. James did poorly in school, and he had few friends, and he was always smaller than his brother. Like going as far as an adult, he was only 5'6" and weighed 135 pounds as an adult.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he was minuscule.
Not to interrupt early, but I see a pattern with a lot of serial killers. Like they have such a shitty child life.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bundy, who was Pogo the Clown? John Wayne Gacy.
Dahmer.
Like Dahmer. Mm-hmm. Dahmer had a fucking shitty childhood. Like I've noticed a lot a trend with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But also I've listened to, learned about, watched enough for. There's also plenty of normal people that turn out to be serial killers.
Yes, and those are the ones that are like super scary, like you wouldn't expect at all.
And there's plenty of these fucked up kids that turn out normal. Like I've seen, like you said, they go either one of two ways. Hey, my childhood was so fucked up, I'm going to fuck everybody else up. Or my childhood was so fucked up, I want to help people by being normal and be better than everyone else. So yeah, it's and that goes to the age-old debate, nurture versus nature. Yeah. Are they born that way or turned that way?
Right, right.
Weird shit, man. So let's see. I did say go to the next page. Not yet. Okay. What's so funny?
The way you said that, you were like, I did say go to the next page.
Well, cause I wrote myself a note cause I wrote all this shit and I put next page before I go to the next section, but I'm not to the part where I go to the next page. So anyways, at the age of 16, James was so unhappy at home that he attempted suicide by hanging himself with a sheet. Obviously, he was unsuccessful in his attempt because he lived longer.
Wow.
Then the next page I wrote, he was described as a modest, bookish, and helpful man who was unremarkable and quiet. He never had a police record. As James got older, his resentment for his brother grew. James flunked out of college after 2 years, while Leonard earned a degree in electrical engineering and excelled in sports. To make matters worse, Leonard then married one of the very few girlfriends that James ever had. Her name was Alma, and then he ended up having 8 children with her.
Jesus Christ, like he was just getting shit on from day one.
Exactly, so the older brother, I guess... This leads into it. Probably, like I said, picked on him his whole life, and now all of a sudden, oh, guess what? I'm going to marry one of your ex-girlfriends.
And have 8 children.
And have 8 kids with her.
Oh, my God.
Leonard had a great job with General Electric, while 41-year-old James was unemployed and living with his mom. On top of all that, James owed his mother and then his brother and wife a shit ton of money, large sums of money, after losing what little money he did have in the stock market crash of 1973 to 1974. So it's just shit upon shit upon shit upon shit piling on. So Charity, his mother, was frustrated with James's inability to hold a steady job and his constant drinking. And she had threatened to evict him from her home on more than one occasion. So just nonstop, like, berating him. His brother's better than him. His mom's threatening to kick him out. All this shit.
Jesus Christ.
So then I have notes on here.
He basically just... I mean, he had no chance.
Right, right. Just getting beat down left and right. I'm sure he just snapped. So that's like the prequel, the background story as the way he grew up and the way he was treated. Then I have now the events that led up to the massacre. So a month before the massacre, James inquired about silencers for his weapons while purchasing ammunition. His behavior deteriorated, caused by a deep depression as he neared the breaking point. On March 29th, 1975, so his 41st birthday, the day before all this shit went down, the day before Easter, witnesses had seen him engaging in target practice, shooting tin cans with his .22 pistol and .22 rifle along the banks of the Great Miami River in Hamilton, Ohio. The night before the murders... This is interesting. James went out, as he did nearly every night, at the 19th Hole Cocktail Lounge, and he talked with an employee. Her name was Wanda Bishop. She was 28 years old. She would later state that James told her that he was frustrated with his mother's demands on him and his impending eviction, and that he needed to solve the problem. There's air quotes I just did, which you guys can't see on the radio. But he needed to solve the problem. According to this lady, Wanda... She stated that, she said that Rupert stated that his mother had complained that if he could afford to buy beer 7 nights a week, he could afford to pay the rent.
No shit.
Rupert,
I mean.
Rupert then left the bar at 11 p.m. that night, but then he later returned to the bar. When he returned, Bishop asked him if he had solved his problem, and he replied, "Nope, not yet." And then James stayed at the bar until it closed at 2:30 a.m. So that's, you know, 2:30 a.m. now technically makes it the 30th.
Yeah.
Which is now Easter Sunday. So on Easter Sunday, this is now the murder day.
Get to the juice stuff.
Yeah. On Easter Sunday, March 30th, 1975, Rupert's brother, Leonard Jr., and his wife, Alma, brought their 8 children, ranging in age from the ages of 4 to 17, for Easter dinner at their house, which I said is 635 Minor Avenue. Rupert stayed upstairs, sleeping off a night of drinking, while the other family members participated in an Easter egg hunt on the front lawn. At around 4 p.m., James finally woke up. He then proceeded to load a .357 Magnum, two .22 caliber handguns, and a rifle, and then he went downstairs. Charity, so his mom. That's
usually how I get ready for Easter,
yeah,
too.
You know, strap up before going upstairs. Charity, his mom, she was preparing Sloppy Joe's in the kitchen with Leonard Jr. and Alma in the kitchen with him.
Well, you know, traditional Easter dinner.
Most of the children were
The meatloaf!
were playing in the living room.
Sorry.
It's funny you say that. Whenever we're all hanging out with my mom, and I'm always like, Ma! Ma! Jamie or Jesse are like, Ma, the meatloaf! Because the way I say mom. Never know what she's doing in there.
Whenever I hear someone say Sloppy Joe's, I think of, what is
Adam
it? That
Adam Sandler. Yeah. Sloppy Joe,
Joe. Extra, I'm thinking of Billy Madison.
Oh, that
yeah.
too, yeah.
Yeah. Made him extra sloppy for you.
For you. You kids like I'm sloppy.
Well, I'm glad we had a little brevity before the dun-dun-dun. So now, he came downstairs and he killed Leonard Jr. when he shot him in the head in the kitchen.
Jesus Christ.
Then his sister-in-law, Alma, when he shot her. Then, as his mother lunged at him, he shot her once in the head and then twice in the chest. David was age 11, Teresa, age 9, and Carol, 13, were later killed by him. That was all in the kitchen. Then James turned the corner into the living room. One by one, James shot his remaining nieces and nephews. Anne, age 12, Leonard III, which is age 17, Michael, age 16, Thomas, age 15, and then John, aged 4.
Jesus Christ.
Charity, the mom again, she had been shot once in the chest. The remaining victims were all shot in the head and then shot again to ensure they had died. The only sign of struggle at all at the crime scene was one overturned waste paper bin. So none of them saw it coming. Obviously, he blitz attacked them. The Butler County coroner theorized that Rupert had likely shot some victims more than once to prevent anyone from escaping. This massacre, the total time frame estimated took less than 5 minutes to kill all these people.
Wow.
Yeah. After spending 3 hours in the house, James finally called the police himself, and he just said, there's been a shooting here. And he waited just inside the front door, and he waited for the authorities to arrive. So then I have a list of the victims and their ages. So Charity Rupert was his mother, and she was 65 years old. Leonard Rupert Jr., his brother, was 42 years old. Alma Rupert, the sister-in-law, she was 38. Then you have Leonard Rupert III. He was 17 years old, the nephew. Michael Rupert was 16. Thomas Rupert, 15. Carol Rupert was 13. Anne was 12. David was 11. Teresa was 9. And you have Little John at 4. So that's all 11 people he had slaughtered. That was the actual murders. I'm looking at my notes because I have notes as I reference my phone and look at the notes at the same time. So then the murders, obviously, they shocked the town of Hamilton. Those who knew James did not think he was capable of violence, especially at this magnitude of this particular event. By all accounts, the neighbors considered the Ruperts as a nice family. James was arrested and charged that day with 11 counts of aggravated homicide. He refused to answer any questions asked by the police, and he was very uncooperative. He made it very clear that he was going to plead insanity. County prosecutor John Holcomb viewed the crime scene, and this is and stated that there was so much blood on the first floor that it was dripping through the floorboards into the basement.
Holy fuck.
Rupert had fired a total of 35 rounds, and all four weapons were recovered at the scene. All 11 victims were buried in Arlington Memorial Gardens in Cincinnati, Ohio. I don't know if I want to go there yet, but whatever. So what's on my notes? A year later, the house was opened to the public, and all its contents were auctioned off. Nope. It was then cleared or cleaned, recarpeted, and rented to a family new to the area whose members were unaware of the murders that have ever taken place there. The new family later left the house, claiming they were hearing voices and other unexplained noises. Other families have moved in and out, and the house is still occupied to this day. But I have different notes referencing that it might not still be occupied.
Impulsive thoughts, let's buy this house.
Ooh. No.
Well, that makes me wonder, if you rent, do they not have to disclose that to you? Because I know they do if you buy it.
So I didn't get research on that, but with, again, my fascination with true crime and shit, and again, I think I've seen more in movies. I don't know how true it is. I think there's a time frame. If it happened so long ago, you don't have to disclose it. Again, that's for purchase, too. I don't know what rental rules are. But I know there's like a certain time frame. Like, oh, this happened so many years ago, you don't got to say shit about it, you know? I think if you're an honest real estate agent, I know you don't want to lose the sale. But if you want your clients to trust you, maybe you would say something, but I don't know how that works, you know?
But yeah, at the same time, like, I think about it, I mean, yes, there was a crazy fucking mass murder. Like, what, other than it being possibly haunted, who gives a shit?
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's my thought of it. I mean, I would 100% buy a house that there was a mass murder in the basement or something like that, or the Amityville Horror House. Like, nope. I mean... Mm. It's just...
So I was just reading this article from 2 years ago.
Okay, maybe not the Amityville.
Right. It says, under most circumstances... Wait. Ultimately, it's not a big deal, and especially not in my case, where his previous homeowners has passed away peacefully at her old age. Under most circumstances, though, the seller isn't required to say anything unless they're asked.
Oh, wow.
But I think there's another one where it's like there's three different states. Whether someone dies peacefully or not... Because if someone dies peacefully, I don't think you have to disclose it.
Right.
But
a violent
I think
death.
It's like Alaska, California, and South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Even if someone dies peacefully, they have to disclose it if it's in within like 3 years, I believe.
Well, I mean, it's fucking Alaska. I mean, there's theories of the fourth kind out there and shit.
Yes, sir. yeah. So, yeah, that's so. I'm gonna go back to the supposed possible hauntings at the end. Like, so that's why this is kind of true crime turns into a little paranormal. Uh-huh. But I have after all the murders and him being caught, I have the criminal proceedings because this is interesting. Because I didn't lead off with what he ended up being charged with because it's pretty interesting, or being found guilty of or whatnot. So this is pretty interesting. The criminal proceedings. The original trial was held in Hamilton, where this took place, in June of 1975. There was a three-judge panel that found Rupert guilty on all 11 counts of murder and sentenced him to life in prison on July 3rd. A mistrial was declared, though, because the three-judge panel did not know if the ruling had to be unanimous or majority rule. It was decided then that the retrial would be held in Findlay, Ohio, 125 miles north, because it was believed he could not receive a fair trial in the small city of Hamilton, because that's, you know, where it took place and everybody knows him there. The second trial then began on July 23rd, 1975, and prosecutors revealed evidence involving the witnesses who had seen Rupert engaging in target practice, and then also asking about silences for his gun, for his gun collection, and then admitting that his mother's expectations were a problem that he needed to solve. In July 1975, Rupert received 11 consecutive life sentences.
I don't think he's ever getting out.
Nah. On appeal, a new trial was granted in 1982. Defense attorney Hugh G. Holbrook. I'm reading huge.
Huge dick. I mean, huge D.
Yeah. So it's Hugh D. Holbrook. Okay.
What's on your mind, Lupe?
Convinced
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
He convinced his client.
Fuck you, Don.
The defense, blah, blah, blah. On appeal, the defense attorney, Q, convinced his client was insane. He personally funded the hiring of expert psychiatrists and psychologists from all over the country. So on July, that's interesting, July 23rd again, literally exactly 7 years later, because July 23rd, 1975 was the second trial. So on July 23rd, 1982, another three-judge panel found Rupert guilty on two counts of first-degree murder for his mother and his brother, but found him not guilty on the other nine counts of murder by reason of insanity. So he received one life sentence for each count to be served consecutively. Capital punishment had been suspended in the United States from 1972 to 1976 as a result of the Supreme Court's decision in Furman versus Georgia. I don't know what that is. So the mass murders on Minor Avenue had occurred in 1975, and Rupert could not receive the death penalty for his crimes. On July 30th, 1982, so 7 days after that trial, at the age of 48, Rupert was incarcerated with the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, or the ODRC, at the Franklin Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio. And his assigned room inmate number was A169321. In June 1995, at the age of 61, Rupert was granted a hearing before the state parole board, but his release was denied. He received subsequent parole board hearings in 2005 at the age of 71 and April of 2015 at the age of 81, all of which he was denied release still. And this is interesting right here. In 2015, the Allen Oakwood Correctional Institution Parole Board released a statement. The board has determined that the inmate is not suitable for release at this time. The inmate has not completed any recommended programming and does not appear to be willing to do so. The inmate's record notes negative institutional conduct. The inmate took the lives of multiple victims. There has been strong community objections to his release. So that being said, the release of this inmate would not be in the best interest of justice. Rupert's next parole consideration hearing is set to occur in April of 2025, when he will be 91 years old. So, in about 1 year, at the age of 91, he will get another parole hearing. Oh, wait, I set you guys up. On June 4th, 2022, at the age of 88, Rupert died from natural causes while incarcerated at the Franklin Medical Center in Columbus, Ohio, a unit of the Ohio...
Bullshit, he killed himself.
Yeah, so...
No, he can't even do that right. He tried before.
Ooh, oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't feel any sympathy for him because you killed 11 people, including a fucking 4-year-old monster. So that's all that. And then I go to my other reference for my haunted part. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, Hannibal Lecter.
With a sweet Chianti. So another thing I forgot to put in there. Shit. After he was arrested, he refused to answer any questions. He made it clear that he planned to offer an insanity defense. So he let it know, And then prosecutors believed that he planned to plead insanity. And then after being, air quote, cured, he would be released to inherit a $300,000 inheritance. So his plan was to plead insanity. So, you know, if you're insane, you're not really in jail. You go to a...
Right. And then you go to a mental facility.
Yeah, and then he'd get cured and he'd get $300,000 inheritance. Obviously, after all that trial shit I read, it did not happen to him. So... Now, okay, I read about that the bloodstains. So a year after the murder, the house was opened to the public, cleaned up, carpets rented out to a family that was new to the area, no idea. They quickly moved out. So after leaving the house, they claimed to hear voices and strange noises that they couldn't explain. Lights turned on and off, doors slammed, and thudding footsteps were often heard coming down the stairs. They were not the last ones to move in and out so quickly. A number of other families moved in and out of the house, and no one stayed for long. All of them reported sounds and voices that could not be explained. The house was abandoned for several years, but the last family that moved in reported nothing out of the ordinary. Whatever eerie hauntings that had plagued the previous tenants was over at last or whatnot. Gone. So it says that this last paragraph, perhaps the echo of the shocking events of 1975, which seemed to leave an indelible mark on the house, had finally faded away. And perhaps after more than 40 years, the spirits of the Rupert family can finally rest in peace. Since we're going as far as, you know, making fun of Donnie and claiming your sources, one article I read was called The Easter Sunday Massacre on American Hauntings was the one. And then the other one was a lot of information I got from Wikipedia. And then I read also, I listened to a part of a podcast called True Crime Easter Sunday Massacre, The Rupert Family Murders. So I went to a few places to get information, but yeah, that's just fucking, I don't know, to me, insane. And then I have, guys, check our Instagram and our Facebook. I have a picture of his mugshot in 2020. This is what Rupert looked like in 2020. And then I have a picture of the family on Easter Sunday.
He looks like a peach of a man.
He kind of looks like somebody I know.
He does look kind of familiar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my short Easter story.
Now, back to Rupert. He was. Where was I going with that? Yeah. No. He was just. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I have no sympathy for him and everything like that. But I also, at the same time, it's like, fuck. Like, he grew up just being constantly shit on.
So, that if we could ever get Jamie to actually come on, her favorite, and again, it's weird when you say favorite, but her favorite serial killer is Jeffrey Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
And not that she likes at all what he did, but just his mental breakdown, the psychosis behind him just totally intrigues her. And like she said, she goes, I 100% feel sorry for baby Dahmer, for young Dahmer. She goes, the shit he went through, the way his parents were to him.
Right.
She goes, I feel so much sympathy for him. She goes, but what he turned into and what he did, she goes, that's just gross, disgusting, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But she, and like I said, when I say favorite, just she is, again, like the psychology behind it. And he's another one that she wonders if he had a normal childhood, would he have turned out the way he did?
Would have.
Or was that shit in him already? Because when you see stories and hear shit about him dissecting animals and doing experiments on animals, you hear a lot about that. That's one of the what do they call it, the major three that show someone's going to be a serial killer: bedwetting as they're too old to be bedwetting, harming animals, and I forgot the third one is. But there's they call it the triad of serial killer beginnings, and I forgot what it, I know two of them. I said two of them. One of them is bedwetting, and one of them is hurting animals, and I forgot what the third one is. But those are like the three major signs. If you see that, like, watch out. It's a good sign they're going to be nasty when they grow up.
Cruelty to animals, fire setting, and bedwetting.
There you go.
Interesting.
So, yeah. You never heard that before?
No.
Oh, yeah.
They call it the McDonald Triad.
There you go. Cool. See how quick Google is when you have a phone.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
So this guy, yeah, again, like...
Why do I have two of the three of those things?
You bedwet?
He plays it off as being too drunk, but...
I'm just kidding, I don't.
I don't think you're cruel to animals, so...
I do like to play with fire, though.
Find a guy that doesn't, though.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, it's just
metaphorically and
play with fire. So like I said, it's yeah, I feel bad for the shit that, like I said, I read everything that he went through, and then said to top it off that his brother married one of the very few girlfriends he had,
and then had kids with her.
Eight kids with her.
Fuck.
But to kill the kids, like, I can't deal with child.
Yeah, leave the kids out of it. I mean, the kids. I mean, so was everybody that was murdered was innocent. Just it's just. What did Paul Heyman say? three acknowledge me. Three people.
No, that was Roman Reigns.
Oh, acknowledge your tribal chief.
Three people died in that house, and only one of them had a choice.
Mm.
And that kind of goes back to
Chris Benoit, then?
Yeah. Goes back to the story. Like, how many people were murdered? 11?
Mm-hmm.
11 people were killed in that house. I mean...
Well, then he didn't have the balls
to kill himself
when he had those four weapons. You couldn't hang yourself. I mean, and again, I do not condone suicide, like I said, but this fuckface did this shit, and then...
But you know what? At the same time, and not to give him props, but give him props to the fact that he actually served his time.
Yeah.
Until he was, what, 90? What'd you say, 94?
88.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of people won't do that. They will take the out and kill themselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's just I don't know where I was going to go next, but I think I was going to, we're not even there anymore, but I was going to piggyback off, like I said, Jamie's favorite. Like, I told you already who I plan on working on my next cases.
Yeah.
And I have listened to lots of podcasts, and I've read a million articles on him, and it was supposed to be my one I was going to do 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and 2 weeks before that, just like my Eliza Lamb one, where I keep stalling, and I don't know if I told you this or if I told Jamie. I go, I think I'm stalling because it's such an important case to me that I don't want to fuck it up. And because I admire Crime Junkies and Morbid so much. And I don't know if either one of them have done this guy yet, but it's just, I know what I want to hear. And I don't think I sound anything like that when I do my cases.
Mm.
And I want to do this guy justice because he's my favorite. Again, not favorite because of what he did, but just the psychology behind him.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I'm not giving it away. I know you're the only one that knows who I'm doing.
Right.
And I don't want to.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, damn it. I love clowns.
No, but I totally know where you're coming from because look how long it's been taking me for me to do my big case.
Yeah.
And granted, yeah, we've gotten pushed back a couple times from, you know, sicknesses and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, I'm in the same boat. Like, I want to do that case justice, and I already have three other cases behind it that it's in similar fashion.
See, that's my problem is I'm so focused on the one I want to do that I haven't done research on anything else, and that's why I put this one together quickly because I wanted to do – I didn't want to put mine together quickly with what I do know. I plan on if my next case is in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, however we're going to work this out,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to set time aside so that I'm going to have two or three pages written per week, per day, whatever, so that on the last day it's like, oh shit, it's my case. Let me write something down real quick. Let me read from my phone. No, yeah. I want to do my shit justice, and I want it organized right where it's not like, turn to page 3. Okay, right. I want to go back to phone.
Look at phone for notes.
Yeah. Look at phone. I want to have it done right where it flows and it's my words and it makes sense coming from my point of view, you know? Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's going to be notes from other shit because there's nothing new out there.
Right.
But I want to put everything that I researched together in my storytelling mode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about it. Like I said, I've listened, like normally, like I said, I don't ever listen to other podcasts. I listen to what I listen to and that's it. And with this guy, I literally have Googled his name in the podcast machine and listen to other podcasts I've never even heard of just to hear other angles of this guy because he fucking interests the shit out of me.
I get it. I mean, I've been doing the same thing, and I can show you, like, I don't have notes on my phone, but I have, like, newspaper articles from this case and everything like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I totally know where you're coming from.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, this was a quick little one. And again, in true Dan fashion with what events coming up in real world, let me do
That works out because I know we used to do that when we first started the podcast. Like, when we first started, it was Halloween, so we did a Halloween episode. And then we did a Thanksgiving episode. And then we did Christmas and New Year's. And then, you know, and then we got structured. So, yeah, that works out. It worked out really good.
So, that being said, I have a question for the pod co-hosts and the podcast community. If you guys are listening, please, 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 please. I believe our most interaction we have gotten was, it's been a year now, we did April aggravations last year. We are coming up on April. Guys, either create your own posts, comment on one of our posts. Does that interest you guys again? Would you guys like to see a similar format where we do a bracket and we have votes on it and stuff? Again, we're going to work out the details here,
you know,
with how we're going to do it so that it's not just, let's vote on the same 64 things we voted on last year. But does stuff like that interest you guys where you guys interact with us? So again, now I'm hoping you guys are listening to us enough to hear this, to then comment, and not just driven by a post on Facebook or Instagram.
Right.
But let us know. Is that interest you, or are you guys just like, no, fuck it, stick to the true crime and haunting and conspiracy theories, you know?
You know, and it's crazy because this literally just popped in my head. I was thinking, since we did April Aggravations last year, why don't we do something like the same bracket style, but serial killers, and then whoever wins, we all just do a case on the last one.
Mm. That way we stick to the true crime format, yeah. Serial killer format, like... Maybe we won't do a full 64, but we like
at least like 16, a sweet 16, yeah.
16 of serial killers or true crime crimes, you know, or like it could be all our topics.
Yeah,
it could be a true crime
paranormal,
conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Versus each other, like put them all in a hat so that you know it's randomized.
Right.
And then
that's a good idea too.
What do you think about that, Donnie?
Can't hear what it is. Well, I mean, yeah, that'd probably work. With what we did last year, that's what I was thinking too. Is like it'd be the same, like
right. And that's why I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, and then like the way we did it, we would talk, what, maybe 15, 20 minutes of the bracket,
yeah.
And then we would just ramble on just random shit.
Right.
It sounds like every other episode.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, we got the most social media interaction during that. I don't, again, without looking back, because I don't have, I don't know if we got the most listens during that time, but we got the most Facebook interaction at that time, yeah. You know? Because people just love voting on shit. I think people that are friends on Facebook that don't even listen saw the votes and said, oh, let me go vote on this, you know?
Right, yeah.
Didn't even care to listen to the episode after us talking about it, just voted on it.
Yeah, now I'm gonna kind of look into, like the whole serial killer stuff like that, or true crime or paranormal and stuff like that, or conspiracy theories, and see, maybe we can do like a bracket, something like that, similar to that, and then whoever wins, or I don't know, I guess wins would be the right term, we do a whole case on that.
Yeah, so like, you know, there's March Madness is basketball, we did April Aggravations, we can do like Mayhem of May or the May Mayhem, because I don't want to say May Murderers, because what if it's paranormal or something else? It's not just, we can spitball this later, but... This is our ideas, podcast world. Let us know, you know, if this is a good idea, or again, if you're like, fuck it, do structured cases, we don't care.
Or fuck it and bring zombies back.
Ooh.
Because I know we were supposed to record what Stir the Pot.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to defend zombies while they defended either vampires or werewolves.
Can I join them? I want to be a vampire. I don't want to be a zombie.
Oh, you're Team Edward. Gay.
I was actually Team Jacob if we're going that far back. But if it came to what would I rather be, I'd rather be a vampire. As long as I turned into a vampire when I was like 22 or 23 and I looked my best and I was in my best shape. Not fat 45-year-old Dan. I want to be in shape 23-year-old Dan.
Yeah, but, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Donnie, thanks for all the input this week, man.
No problem. I just throw my lines in when they're needed.
They weren't needed at all this week.
Debatable.
That one was needed. That was good. Anything else new, guys?
Saw the sneak peek trailer for Beetlejuice. That looks like it's going to be good.
I didn't even watch
it. I have, yeah, I know you sent it in that one group chat. I haven't watched it.
Mm-hmm. What I have watched multiple times, just because I'm so on the fence, but I'm going to watch it, is the trailer for the new Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Look good.
I haven't seen
it. It does look good, and I like Skarsgård a lot. I like him as an actor. He played Pennywise.
He played Pennywise very well.
But he was also I don't know if it's called the Entity or the whatever his title was in that not Haunting of Hill House, but it was one of those anthology theories series on Netflix or wherever. Now I forgot what, but he was fucking great in that.
Are you talking about the one? What was it? Glass?
No. It was a Stephen King one.
Oh. I was say because Glass was a good movie.
Was he in that too?
No, I don't think so.
No, that was Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. That
series was amazing.
Yeah. And Patricia.
Let's see. Bill Skarsgård was in...
Drumroll.
What'd you say you thought it was called?
I don't... It was a series. That's all I know.
Oh, a series?
Yeah.
I don't have a...
I would know if you said it.
Would it have been before or after It?
Before.
Before It?
Yeah.
Or after It?
During It.
Hemlock Grove?
Yes, I think that was it.
His character was Roman Godfrey.
I believe that was it. Yes. But I think the whole Skarsgård family is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's more
yeah,
actors?
There's a bunch
of
them.
Oh, man, the main one I knew first.
Stellan?
Huh?
Stellan?
No, not Eric. The guy from True Blood. He played the main vampire, and he was fucking, oh my God, he was awesome. Like, I was like, oh, this guy's fucking awesome. Like, he was the most evilest vampire, and the way his character, if you've never watched True Blood.
No.
Alexander?
Oh, yes, Alexander Skarsgård. Fucking, he ended up playing Tarzan also.
See, the first one I knew about was Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, well, I don't even
know. He was in Good Will Hunting.
Never seen it.
What?
Yeah,
Good Will Hunting, isn't it? Matt Damon.
And yeah. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Was Robin Williams in there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was one of the real main characters besides Matt Damon.
Yeah, he was a teacher, wasn't he?
Yes.
But no, Alexander Skarsgård, the first one I knew. And yeah, he was Eric. He was Vampire Eric in True Blood. Oh my God. Like, Lupe, if you ever get a chance to get into True Blood, like, that's one of my top series of all time. That one and Dexter are my two favorite, and Sons of Anarchy. Those three.
I could not get into Dexter.
I like Dexter, but the finale fucking sucked.
I've watched Dexter probably through two or three times already, four times maybe even.
Weren't they supposed to make like a movie or something?
No, they made another
one.
They did have another series come, and it was okay. But the original was, I don't know how you couldn't. I loved it.
I watched the first two episodes, and I just couldn't.
God, no, it's my favorite series of all time.
And that's how I isn't felt
that,
with...
Isn't that the one where the guy comes out and he's surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise, yeah. Motherfucker. Surprise,
motherfucker. Hard eyes, motherfucker.
Me and Yariel the last few days have talked about that nonstop. I said, that's my favorite... I go, I guess it's not a TikTok, but was that a Vine, I guess?
Yeah.
That's my favorite Vine of all time. Some fries, motherfucker. Hard eyes, motherfucker.
I started watching...
rise, motherfucker.
Wrong size.
Wrong size, motherfucker.
I started watching Grey's Anatomy because I've never seen it before, and I heard a couple people told me I should watch it.
Girls, all girls, yeah.
Huh?
All girls.
No, a couple guys have watched it.
I don't know any guys have ever watched that.
I've never seen that either.
It's not bad so far.
Jamie loved
it. I like ER better.
One of her favorites.
I like House better than both of those.
House is awesome. So, anyways, we're going off the rails on
our typical.
Yeah.
I am very excited for. Chris sent me a text, which I sent to that other group chat. The new. What's it called?
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious.
Oh, God, no.
Rambo.
Boondock Saints.
Oh yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I have two dates in my mind memorized. June 7th is the new Crow, and then September 6th is the new Beetlejuice. Those are the two dates I have in my mind, ingrained in me mind.
The only date that I have memorized right now is April 2025.
April 2025?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the new Grand Theft Auto will be out then.
What about April 19th this year?
Well, that's a possibility.
April 18th, Rain turns 21. April 19th, I make my first trip ever to Nashville. Lupe may be going or may not be going.
If I do, it's a good time.
Yes-um.
But yeah, before Dan yells at us for me peeling his sticker apart and putting it on something.
Whoa. Wrap it up.
I guess we should wrap it up.
Don't be a dummy. Landed on her tummy.
Jesus.
I don't know if I should leave that in. Okay. went off the rail there. Big always. Time.
Always with me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I probably have ADD before they knew what ADD was.
So Swive's just texting in the group chat. He goes, y'all remember this garbage? Can't believe this came up in a conversation just now with a friend. Sent a picture of beer 30.
Oh, my God. I used to fucking kill beer 30s. 30 rack was $8.99.
Yes. I never drank beer. I'm not a beer drinker.
Yeah.
I don't know if this can be considered beer.
Yeah.
That's how light
it
was.
I think it was literally water.
In college, because I hated beer so much and because it was cheap as fuck, and again, this is I was a freshman in 96, we used to get Busch Light.
Busch Latte.
And it literally, because I did not, I'm like, this tastes like water. There's no taste to it. And that was me who still even hated beer even back then. Busch Light was like water.
You know what I just recently discovered was Michelob Ultra. It's actually pretty good.
Michelob Ultra.
But yeah, anyway, you can find us on all your major podcast platforms at Instagram at that one fucking handle.
That's a
good handle. Why is it? Oh, impulsivethoughts_pod.
Ooh.
On everything else, just look at our link tree.
Facebook.
Impulsive Thoughts. We are on Amazon Music. Any of your major podcast platforms we're on. I mean, I'm not going to go through it all. I know as soon as I do my big episode, it's going to get shadow banned on like 3 or 4 platforms. Really? I already know. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's such a hot conspiracy topic.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now I'm excited even more.
Yeah, me too. So, but yeah. I am
SNWP.
I am joined here with Mr. Donnie Rowe.
See you later.
And Miss Dano.
Whoa.
Mr. Dano with a really good episode. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. And in case you guys forgot, I am the king of what's the word I'm looking for? I'm the king Ed Rock, you know my name. I'm the king of fuck, I can't think. Anyways, good day, Mike. I gotta say that.
Cut that whole part out.
Yeah, right? That'll be the beginning. Like, I'm the king of
guy, junior. It's like when you're at McDonald's. Can I get a
king of impressions? It's not impressions, though, of I don't know. Accents? Not accents?
Anyway, guys, don't trust your government. Pay your taxes, though. And don't believe everything you think. Peace.
Bye.